That's right. You are listening to the Karima Brown Show. This is, of course, 702. Now, today, the National Council of Provinces has adopted the Joint Constitutional Review Committee's report recommending that constitution should be amended to allow expropriation without compensation. 8 of the 9 provinces voted in favor of adoption, with the DA-governed Western Cape being the only province voting against it. This follows the National Assembly's adopting of the report yesterday. This means that the matter is now duly adopted resolution of Parliament, and it paves the way for an ad hoc committee to start drafting the amendment to Section 25 of the Constitution. Well, the Farmers Association is opposing this proposal to amend the Constitution, saying it will increase food insecurity. AgriSA maintains that very negative consequences may follow any major changes to Section 25 as it stands currently. This includes, according to them, the negative impact on land values that in turn endangers production, finance to commercial and emerging farmers. Well, joining me on the line to articulate their view on the matter is Mr. Omri van Sail, who is the CEO of AgriSA. And I'm also joined by a journalist, in fact, editor of Landbou Weekblad magazine, Mr. Chris Burgess. Gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Let me start with Omri van Sail. You said that you are not opposed to land reform. You are not opposed to expropriation without compensation, but you believe that the Constitution, specifically the Section 25, should not be changed. The argument is that Section 25 isn't specific enough and that it needs to, in fact, be decoded, if you like, and codified properly in law how it is going to happen. If you are in favor of expropriation without compensation, why are you fearing an amendment of a constitution that will make it very clear exactly how it will happen?
Hi, Camilla. No, we're not in favor of expropriation without compensation. We're actually against it. Our argument is premised on a couple of things. I think the first for us is that the value of agricultural land and assets is used as a form of production lending. So we actually go and borrow money from the banks. We use that money to plant. We harvest our crops. That goes into the food system, and that feeds our nation and our neighboring countries. So we're against expropriation without compensation because the principle of property rights and the free market system is based on security of tenure. And you can extrapolate that to all kinds of property clauses, not just agricultural land, but also, you know, residential land, commercial land, and a variety of other things. So it's a principle in law. So our point of view is that it is not necessary to change the Constitution. There is enough intellectual capital and capability in the country to drive land reform sustainably. The government has not succeeded to do this over the past 24 years. We are putting alternative models on the table that we think can work. In the end, it's not just about land, but it's about agriculture, the whole agriculture value chain, and an industry that is key to the prosperity and the food security of South Africa.
Let me bring in Mr. Chris Burgess from the Landbou Weekblad magazine. Mr. Burgess, good evening. Welcome to the show. We spoke the last time. You were involved in bringing a lot of stakeholders together to try and deal with this matter. Now that we have, of course, gotten to the point where the resolution has been accepted and the constitutional amendments now has to be written down, where is this debate at now? And do you think that we are going to see the kind of chaos that Mr. Omri van Sail is speaking about?
Well, I mean, there was a little mic.
Well,
and then I
Mr. Burgess, are you on another line? Okay, we're going to try and get Mr. Burgess back. Let me continue the conversation with Mr. van Sail. Mr. Van Sail, if you are going to be arguing that this is going to have negative consequences for the entire food chain and that it threatens food security, precisely how will this happen? Because the president has been very clear saying there's going to be no land grabs, this is not going to be Zimbabwe, that the process will be monitored. Why do you not have faith in what he is saying?
Well, I think the first point of view is that agriculture and farming is an entrepreneurial business. So it's like any other business. It's like running a restaurant or a commercial venture. In the end, you have to make a profit. You have to pay back your loans. You have to pay back the banks. And when that asset class is threatened by, for example, the lowering of the value of the asset of 20 or 30%, then it has a major impact on production loans. In other words, farmers will not be able to get production loans to plant, or the capital, the cost of the capital will be so high that it will be passed on into the whole food system. And that is our main, one of our main points of argument is food security consists of three things. It's the quality of the food, the availability of it, and the affordability of it. So Africa has the cheapest, some of the cheapest, best quality food in the world. And it's acknowledged throughout the world.
All right, Mr. Van Sail, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, hopefully Mr. Chris Burgess will be joining us on a better line. All right, we've got Mr. Chris Burgess back on the line. He's, of course, the editor of Landbou Weekblad. Mr. Burgess, I was trying to get your response to the fact that we have now gotten to the process where the constitution is, in fact, going to be changed. There's a sense of concern and worry from AgriSA. They believe the entire food chain is at risk, food security is at risk. The president has given certain undertakings that this is not land grabs, that this needs to happen, and that it is in fact going to give us greater security. You recently brought quite a number of role players together to look at how you can assist the government in doing this. Where do you think things are at now? Do you share Mr. Omri Van Sail's concerns?
Yes, I mean, I definitely share his concerns, and I don't think it's only myself. I think a lot of black farmers also share his concerns. It was quite interesting to see with the land summits that we had. We had one up in Bella Bella, the big one up in Bella Bella, and then down in Haga Haga and now in Alexandria. And I mean, the refrain from all the black farmers, commercial farmers, are that they want title to their land. I mean, they want financing. They want to be able to leverage their businesses. They want to move forward. A lot will depend on the exact wording.
Yes.
But, you know, I still come back to the question of why exactly are we doing this? You know, former President Kgalema Motlanthe spoke about political theatrics, and I mean that is more or less what I sense is happening at the moment, and that it's completely that it's taking place in a complete vacuum of facts and figures. You know. I mean, if you know, just two figures that I'd like to put out there. I mean, you know, since 1994, we've spent 60 billion on SAA. You know, we've only spent 26.9 billion on land reform. We spent 22 billion protecting VIPs. You know, we've spent 26 billion on land reform. So, I mean, you know, it's very difficult not to see this as merely sort
electioneering
of a shortcut. So I think that question remains about why exactly are we doing this,
Mr. Burgess. I mean, many people, including former President Kgalema Motlanthe, has argued that the land reform process didn't fail because the constitution was inadequate. He was actually quite clear that the constitution actually makes provision for this. It was tardiness, corruption, inefficiency and ineptness on the department side. And of course, I mean, now we're going to do it in a way that will give them even more power. And it can actually delay land reform even further. The figures that you've mentioned also gives one an understanding of what kind of commitment actually went through. I mean, we had a whole program where farmers, black farmers in particular, called in and said how the state, in fact, didn't assist them, and how families disagreed on what to do with land, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that this was just an ANC ploy to steal a march on the EFF?
Now, look, I mean, politics is a dirty business, and I mean, I don't want to really comment on what happens in politics, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really contribute much to building a more inclusive society and to building a more prosperous society. I mean, what happens in Parliament is, to say the least, quite pathetic, because I mean, all those submissions, those written submissions that have been made. I've seen a number of them. There've been very detailed submissions as to how the impact that expropriation without compensation will have on our broader economy. I mean, this is not rocket science. And what is really tragic is that we actually have surprisingly been quite successful with land reform. I mean, we've got some of the most innovative land reform models across all spectrums of agriculture, and I mean that we saw with the Bella Bella Land Summit, everything from communal land right through to restitution farms that have been recapitalized to partnerships at farmer level, partnerships with traditional leaders on communal land, and it's as if the politicians simply don't want to do the hard work. They don't want to contemplate the models that are already on the table. They just want to take the shortcut. And I mean, if anyone thinks that we're going to be better off with the state having the power to expropriate without compensation, we just need to look across our border what's happening in Zimbabwe. I mean, did the small scale farmers actually get the land that they were promised? As a matter of fact, you were speaking earlier about it on your show. We just need to look at what's happening with the mining companies in the communal areas.
Yes.
I mean, we already seeing expropriation without compensation. The communities where their concerns are simply wiped off the table by big capital.
Yes, and of course, in this instance, this community actually wants to farm. They don't want mining. They want to farm. They're actually saying they are feeding their communities. Their products are exported to places like KwaZulu-Natal and so on. And we have a mining minister who's really trying to undermine a court decision by saying he's still consulting when the consultation process was long over. There's always been a tension, Mr. Burgess, between how land is best used and between mining and agriculture. Is this a classic case again of that?
Well, I mean, what people don't realize is that some of our best farming land up in Mpumalanga is absolutely being devastated by coal mining. And I mean, a lot of the coal mining that's happening there is happening under very dubious dubious conditions, where people are being awarded mining licenses where they shouldn't be awarded mining licenses. They're being awarded water licenses where they shouldn't be being awarded. They're mining in wetlands. So a big part of our area where we're producing maize is being wiped out, and that production will have to move down east, where most of the rain falls, and that is in our communal areas.
Mm.
And we've got fantastic models. I mean, we've got Mrs. Gloria Sarobe from Whippold. We've got Amadlelo Agri. We've got Naira Macadamias. We've got
Chris, I know you can go on and on. We're unfortunately running out of time. Thank you very much. This debate is, of course, far from over. Mr. Omri Francel, thank you very much, CEO at Agri SA, and editor of the Landbou Weekblad magazine, Mr. Chris Burgess. We are going to return to this issue. We are far from done with this issue. We are going to definitely discuss it again.